Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for summer, for long, light-filled, beautiful days, for green grass and glistening lakes and pontoon boat rides, for flower boxes bursting forth with color and red-winged blackbirds singing their song. For kids, Lord, and the joy that they find in simple things like ice cream cones and water parks. For families that bring their baby to be baptized. For forgiveness and second chances. For this place that we call home, where we can gather together on joy-filled days and sorrow-filled days, knowing that you are with us and loving us. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine called and said, "My mom just died after a long and faithful life. She had gone to see Jesus." My friend asked if we could get together to say a few prayers before the funeral folks arrived. I walked into the room and it was bathed in sunlight and soft music playing in the background. Her mom's body lay peacefully on the bed, her head nestled in pillows, her hands folded above the covers. This beautiful woman had raised 8 children during her life, and they were now gathered around their mom. The day before had been difficult, watching their mom labor so hard to breathe, not daring to leave the room, wondering if it would be the last time that they would see her here on this earth. They were all exhausted and yet together. As we were praying, an elegant, debonair, handsome older gentleman walked into the room. His eyes immediately filled with tears and his lips started to quiver. The kids all jumped up to hug him and help him to the chair next to the bed. They introduced him as Don, their mom's beloved. One of the son-in-laws smiled and said, "You know, when Don first met our mom a few years after Dad died, she was so full of life and so passionate and so stubborn and so Irish that Don hesitated at first, wondering if it was more than he could handle. But once he jumped, it was headfirst. And then Don turned to me and said, 'Well, I decided to gather up all my chips and throw them in the pile, and that whatever happened, I was going to be all in from that moment on.'" You can ask my husband about being married to an Irish woman. That faith, that willingness to take the risk and jump in and believe in something without absolute proof of the outcome is the very definition of faith. Believing in things not yet seen. If we are to truly be in a loving relationship with our family, our fellow man, our church, our God, with life, we need to go all in. It is in the throwing ourselves into, in the getting involved, in having the courage to sign up, in having the courage to say we're sorry when we've hurt someone, to try something new, that will come face to face with the divine. The text that Pastor Freeman read this morning is one of the most empowering pieces of scripture in the whole Bible. It's a love letter from God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote it, was once one of the most horrendous haters and cunning condemners of Jesus. But God turned his heart. And when he came to accept that Christ died for him with all of his sins, he couldn't help but run and tell everyone that he came into contact with that God loves even me. So if God is for me, who can be against me? Paul went on to proclaim the gospel to more people than anyone before him, anyone that was listening. And his words were, God loves you. God is for us. When I was a very young student at Gustavus Adolphus, or as my relatives referred to as God Save Us All of Us College, studying was the very, very, very last thing I ever wanted to do. In fact, I would rather work or clean our apartment or do laundry or do just about anything other than study. When faced with the choice of hanging out with my friends or going to the library and sitting silently and alone for hours and hours and hours, well, let's just say that my microeconomics book earned top dollar at the end of the semester because it was brand new, never been opened. People started coming up to me and saying, "Can I have your books at the end of the semester?" Well, one afternoon, in an attempt to avoid the library, I was wandering through the campus bookstore and I found a coffee cup that I thought was so funny that I bought it and sent it home to my mom. It was a picture of the old cartoon character Garfield the cat, all stretched out and comfy on a couch, and below it were the words, "Whenever I get the urge to study, I lie down until the feeling goes away." Oddly, my tuition-paying mom did not think that was funny at all. There is something in our human nature that when faced with something that we don't want to do, or when we're just plain afraid to do, it makes us just want to lie down and pull the covers over our head and ignore it and wait for it to pass. I'd like to go on that woman's retreat. I really could use some time away to rest and to be with God, but I'm pretty busy, so maybe next year. I know I hurt my partner's feelings, but I really should apologize, but maybe I'll just hope that she forgets. I'd love to find a way to help others or look for a new job that brings meaning to my life, but would they even hire me? Maybe next year. Today's words, this scripture is telling us that God's got this, that God's got us. Whatever it is that we fear, whatever it is that we're afraid will happen, it is going to be okay. I promise you, because we need fear nothing, because nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. With God's love, we can't lose. We know this, but what if we adopt it into our souls? What if we remind ourselves daily that God loves us this much? What do we do with that love, with that forgiveness, with that promise of eternal life, with knowing that we are God's beloved children? What do we do with that? I think we need to share it. Is there someone in your family who needs your full love and affection right now? Give it to them. Is there someone or something that you've been wanting to try, but you're worried, what if you fail? What will people think of you if you do? Are you sensing God nudging you to get out there and help? Maybe that is God calling you to go all in, even in the midst of our human doubt. Because the reality of life is we're never going to be absolutely certain of anything until we are face to face with God. Life requires risk. Love requires risk. Success requires risk. Faith, by its very definition, is the belief in things not seen. Standing on the sidelines, one foot in and one foot out, hedging our bets, yep, that is the safest place to live. But rarely is it the most Holy Spirit-filled, joyous, fulfilling place to live. Knowing that we, all of us, even massively flawed Saul, is a child of God and loved by God, gives us the freedom to go out and live our lives fully, to get out there in the midst of all the yuck and be hopeful and be brave, to love one another, to care for one another. Each one of us in this room, the person in front of you, the person behind you, the person on either side of you, we are called to be beacons of hope in this world, beacons of love, beacons of forgiveness, beacons of second chances. When Don walked into the room that morning and saw the peaceful body of his beloved, he didn't see someone with whom there had been no challenge or no pain or no struggle. He saw someone with whom he had a relationship, someone whom he trusted, someone whom he loved and shared a life, both the joy and the pain. Had Don and Franny decided to stay on the sidelines all those years ago and not thrown in their chips, they would have missed out on one of the greatest gifts of God, the beauty of a love-filled relationship. It is hard out there. There is no question about it. Life is hard. We will lose people we love, but it's also joyful and inspiring and holy and grace-filled and lovely. I invite you to bring this scripture reading home. Bring your bulletin home. And when you're feeling overwhelmed by it all, just remember these words, this love letter from God. Read it in the morning. Read it to you yourself or your children before you go to bed at night. These are God's love letter to you. If God is for us, who is against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are so loved, each and every one of us. We are so blessed. Let's be beacons and enjoy this one life to the fullest. Amen.